I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Utah, USC. The Utes battle the Trojans for a chance to play in back-to-back Rose Bowls. Pac-12 championship game coverage on The Zone is presented by UCCU. Love where you bet. Right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You see him on TV, a football analyst for Fox, also hosts radio in Seattle.
He's very handsome.
Very handsome. He is made for television.
And great
he joins
family
us now.
Man.
Brock Huard. Brock, how are you?
Hey, Brock.
I'm doing great, boys. It's fun to be back with you guys. I think we did this, if I remember right, when I was sitting in the hotel in Salt Lake City. And right now I'm sitting at the Aria Hotel in Vegas. Getting ready for this one tomorrow night. Have some league meetings this afternoon, the commissioner's dinner tonight, and man, am I grateful and thankful to be a part of this sucker tomorrow night.
Be grateful and thankful that you're already there and you're not having to drive through Utah. We've got a huge snowstorm coming through, so I'm trying to get out of here tonight, Brock, to get down there. It's going to be ugly.
Ooh. Is that how long of a drive is it from Salt Lake without weather?
6 hours.
Without weather,
it's 6 hours. We just talked to our lead meteorologist here in the state, and he said add 2 hours if you decide to leave after 6 o'clock this evening. It's going to be really ugly. So we got a lot of late arrivals that are coming down, Brock.
Yeah, well, all of you Ute fans, you travel safely. It's beautiful here. I think it'll near 60 degrees today, and yeah, this is just going to be a terrific matchup, guys, as I just am studying and digging into this more and more. And obviously, I think this is there's familiarity. And I think this is the first time in my 14 years of calling games where I have a repeat game, a rematch. I've had a lot of repeat teams. Obviously, this year, I think I had TCU 3 times, Oregon 3 times. But to actually have a rematch for the first time is a unique spot for me. And I think we'll just add yet another layer on, you know, and that was the game of the year. I mean, it was a remarkable, remarkable game, week 7, and I don't anticipate this being different. I think this is going to be a tremendous game tomorrow night.
So in your opinion, when you analyze and you look at the film, are they similar, or have there been subtle and yet very important changes to both these teams coming into this rematch?
No, I think over the course of a long season, there are some differences. And I think the health is probably the biggest. And we'll meet with Kyle and staff tonight and try to get a little feel. And I can already anticipate decision for Dalton and a game time decision for Clark and probably limited practice work this week. I know nobody there gets any chance to really watch practice and see what's going on. Cam Rising is not 100%. That's noticeable on tape the last 5 weeks. He was more than 100% that night in Salt Lake, certainly the first 3 quarters before that injury that hobbled him to his knee. So there's no Tavion Thomas, obviously. On their side, there's no Travis Dye, obviously. But I would say on paper, they are the healthier team as far as their injury front goes. And I can't say the same about Utah, especially offensively. I think defensively, as I said, you'll have to watch Clark, and he is so valuable as he moved around in that first matchup and played nickel and played corner, and if he's healthy, can do the same tomorrow night. But that would be, Scotty, the biggest, and I'm not saying anything you don't know, but that would be the biggest area we will be watching in pregame and leading up to the kickoff.
So, Brock, have you had more than one opportunity to call a Cam Rising game? If so, please mention that. And then give us your thoughts on Cam Rising, the time that you saw him on the field against USC, which I thought was one of his better games.
I'd have to say that's the best I've ever seen him play. Statistically speaking, it was all career highs in yards, 3 rushing touchdowns. I saw Cam, I had Utah the year before, I believe twice, when you guys annihilated Colorado and somebody else earlier in the year. And, you know, the one number that surprises me, and we get all these numbers, you know, the Pro Football Focus folks and second, you know, Next Level Stats guys, it surprises me that they how little play action they do. And I think some of that was because of the lack of run game, maybe in the first half of the season, or the disappointment in some of the run game in the first half of the season. But a lot of this falls right on number 7's shoulders, and he is unflappable. He handles everything that's asked of him. I think he sees the field beautifully. That Oregon game, and I don't understand. I'm going to have to rewatch that one tonight and try to get a little more of a feel. Because I had Oregon 3 times this year, and that is not a defense that really did what they did to Cam to anybody else, certainly in the Pac-12. I mean, they were a mess defensively. So, obviously, they flushed all of that versus a terrible, terrible Colorado team. But, yeah, his health and his movement, I am sure that he will do whatever it's going to take tomorrow night. But his legs were a factor the first time around. His scrambling was a factor. His extending plays was a factor, just like the dude on the other side is. And he's just a gamer. And there's a lot of guys that throw it prettier. There's guys that have a better body that, you know, are much more fluid. But the dude absolutely wins. And he reminds me of some former NFL teammates I had and guys that stuck around for a long time because they knew what they were and they knew what they weren't. And I think number 7 knows exactly what he's capable of doing.
Brock, you were kind enough to join us as we preview the Utah-USC game as the Utes trying to pick up back-to-back Pac-12 championship games. Tavian Thomas didn't have a huge game in that game against USC, 8 carries, 38 yards. Obviously, he's out of the equation now. Outside and a quarterback that I think we can all, you know, safely say is not 100%, or at least not what he was against USC. So how concerned are you with the Utah running game against the USC defense, which hasn't been great this year?
Yeah, I'm not terribly concerned because that front 7 for SC is not a dominant crew. The Dalton Kincaid is going to be an enormous part of that, of the run game, of the passing game, of what USC is capable of doing. Because if Dalton can't go, I think that group will feel much, much more comfortable playing man. And even if he does go, they're going to play man and have to help, you know, with a safety or a nickel or a bracket in some way or another lurk defender. But that is an enormous one that affects both the passing game, obviously, but I think the run game as well. Because if they don't, you know, have to commit resources to Dalton Kincaid in that matchup and they get another body, a plus one in the box around, you know, Bernard, around Jackson, around Glover, then that's going to help them. And, you know, it was telling in that first matchup, Cam ran it 11 times. Some of those were designs, like the power run for the 2-point conversion. The 4 games that have followed, he missed one. The 4 that followed that he started and played, just 13 runs. So 11 on that night, 13 the last 4 weeks. I think tomorrow night, because of Kincaid, because of Thomas, because of what's going to be asked of him, I get a sense it might be a double-digit night for Rising, and he's just going to have to battle through whatever he's fighting with that knee.
Brock, what's more impressive to you, the 27 turnovers that USC has forced, 8 fumbles, 19 interceptions, or the fact that they've set an NCAA record only giving up the ball 4 times in turnovers? What's a more impressive number?
Yeah, I think the latter, to be honest with you. You know, they are a spot-drop team defensively, hands, and it's why they give up a lot of yards. I mean, they dropped into areas of the field and when they're in their zone and it's allowed for tips and overthrows, and they're small. You know, it is a group that the 5 on the back end are 6 foot and a 180, and that's why Dalton had just a monster night in Salt Lake City. So, you know, they play through that strength. There are a bunch of DBs and corners playing safeties and guys that do have good ball skills. So I don't diminish that amount of takeaways because that is a remarkable number, 19 interceptions of those 26. But to give the ball away only four times in 12 games is insanity. I mean, you see teams in one night give it away. I threw five picks in an Apple Cup in 1997. So, you know,
we didn't need to mention that. We didn't mean it.
Yeah. I mean, I balls get tipped, ball, you get hit, yep. Fumble, ball pops up in the air. I mean, all turnovers and giveaways are not created equally. They come in different varieties, but to have four in 12 games, three picks and just one fumble is and will be studied by everybody in college football. And, you know, it's not as if SC spends, you know, four periods of practice working on ball security. They do it every day. It is a focal point, but it takes maturity. It takes veteran players. It takes, you know, a lot of football IQ, and they've got that offensively. And obviously the QB is pretty stinking special.
Speaking of that QB, still just a true sophomore, but if the rules were changed and he was allowed to enter the NFL draft right now, would he be your number one overall pick?
I think he would be. Yeah, I think he would be. He and obviously Bryce down at Bama, Stroud would be in that conversation, the 2D linemen down south, Jalen Carter at Georgia, and Will Anderson at Bama. I think those would be, you know, all contenders for that. But, you know, what makes this guy different is over the years we have seen and watched a lot of evolution of dual threat quarterbacks. And we have seen some that can run it and throw it. But most of them have a strength one way or the other, right? I mean, most of them, yeah, okay, Lamar Jackson's a better runner than he is thrower. And you know what? Russell Wilson, except for this year, was a, you know, better passer than runner. But they could do both of those things. This guy right now, especially in the short, in the intermediate passing game with his run game, does both flawlessly. That's why he's got 44 touchdowns. He has got 4.4 speed. We met with SC yesterday. And I, you know, in this day and age, it's not only the 40 time, they wear these catapult systems that measure miles per hour, right? And we see those at times, and you can see those numbers in NFL stadiums, especially. They all have the technology. Well, you get to 21, 22 miles an hour, you're uniquely fast, and that's where he is. He has unique top-end wide receiver running back speed at 22 miles an hour. And then in the short and the intermediate passing game, he is dynamite. The deep ball, that is still the issue. And can Morgan Scalley and crew take away those underneath throws? Can they force him to push the ball down the field? I mean, those numbers are real. That is the one area of growth that he has to have. And certainly when he goes to the NFL level a year plus from now, he's going to have to grow and develop. But that will be one of the keys, as is caging him in. You know, it's a term that Kyle uses, and it's appropriate. I mean, you have got to keep him between the tackles. And I don't think in my 14 years of calling college football, I have ever seen anybody with the athletic arrogance that he displays in that pocket. He just darts in, he darts out. He kind of sniffs for trouble. And then he's just got this, you know, athletic arrogance to believe he can get out of, like a Houdini, everything that you put him in. Utah got him four times the last time, got him three times in the second half, which is another factor in why they won that game. And they're going to have to create negative plays and get him down to the ground at least two or three times in the same variety tomorrow night.
Brock, what are your thoughts? I mean, you and I go back old school college football, played at the same time, played against each other, and then eventual teammates with the Colts. It was a lot of fun. But about the same era, probably some similar feelings, but your thoughts on 12 USC starters being transfer players, including a coach that came in brand new, kind of a whole overhaul of what USC has done. How do you feel about that? And are we going to see more of this in college football where we see a 4-win team turn into a contender in a given year?
I think you're going to see boom or bust. And I think Michigan State's an example of that. A season ago, it was, oh my gosh, look at these guys, you know, Mel Tucker and Ken Walker, and they went from 2-3 wins to 10 wins and New Year's Six Bowl, and those guys exit stage right, and all of a sudden you win 5 games and you're not going to a bowl. And you're going to see some of that volatility in some of these programs. You know, I asked Matt Campbell exactly that, Hans, last week, and coach at Iowa State playing TCU. TCU had 20 FBS transfers on their roster along with 12 JUCO transfers. Those are not all in one year, but over the last couple years, 20, and Iowa State had two. And I just said, is that sustainable, Matt? And he just said, you know, I hope that I can continue to do it the way I've always done it, because I love taking 17 and 18-year-old youngsters and making them 22 and 23-year-old grown men who come out equipped for much more of life, not just football. And I appreciate that, and I hope that never goes away. And I hope there are programs that are still capable of doing that, Hans, and I think there will be. But there's no question in the marketplace, and bang for the buck, and the Matt Rhule to Nebraska and some of the other big-name hires, Fickell to Wisconsin, will obviously look at Michigan State in 21. We'll look at USC in 22 and say, there is a model. There is an opportunity, and you can turn it with the right people faster than you've ever been able to turn it before.
Brock, you were kind enough to join us. Now, let's say USC wins this game and the Rose Bowl has its options. In your opinion, and I think we all know what direction the Rose Bowl is going to go, but do you, would you put Utah in as a second place team, or would you go to Washington and put the Huskies in there? And I know, you know, it's okay. You can be biased if you'd like to on this answer.
Yeah. Well, I just think with 4 losses at that point, yeah. I don't think it's a debate, you know. I mean, that Oregon loss, I think, kind of sealed that fate, much like the ASU loss for Washington sealed the fate of them, you know, losing the tiebreaker to Utah and not playing in this game tomorrow night, because Washington is unbelievably hot. I mean, their offense and Michael Penix and what he has done in the second half of this season, really all season long for Penix, but defensively getting just enough to win up there at Oregon and at Wazoo and take their game on the road. An undefeated season at home, a brand that would travel, a young man in Penix and a coach they just rewarded in DeBoer, who is a tremendous football coach. Yeah, I think that would be a 10-2 and ranked somewhere around the top 10. They're 12 now. A Utah loss inevitably would drop them below. I can't imagine that going any other direction than the purple and gold getting down there. And it may be Penn State and the Rose Bowl saying, you know what, we've had Ohio State there a few years in a row, and their players will probably opt out, and why don't we get a Penn State in a top 10 matchup and go in that direction. But a lot of football has got to be played before then, boys, and they're going to be 60 minutes as I'm looking out at this stadium from my hotel room tomorrow night that will make those decisions for those decision makers.
Before I let you go, you're obviously connected like crazy in the Pac-12. How appealing is that Colorado job? And, you know, we talk about teams that can turn things around really quickly, but how difficult is it to try to turn that ship around and get it going in the right direction?
Yeah, that's a brutally difficult job. I mean, what was the number? You guys may know this because they just played last week, but I think it's something like 1 winning season since 2002.
Yeah.
The one year they played in this championship game against Washington with Mike McIntyre and just had a remarkable season. I think I may be wrong on that, and your audience can correct me and tweet me, but I think it's something like 1 winning season since 2002. So that is a job that many have tried to take on and have lost the battle to. That is not an appealing job, unfortunately, with some of the decisions that they have made and just the difficulties they've made on the transfer portal, on academics, on everything else. That is an upper campus that has got to make a decision, an administration that's got to make a decision. Now, they offer Prime the job. He's obviously sitting on that and a few others like South Florida, and he'll play his game this weekend, and we'll see. If they were to land him, I don't think it's an easy job, but it would be a fascinating one to cover and watch for you guys and for me and for everybody in college football to see him if he were to pull that trigger. But I think he's a pretty wise guy. I think he's got a lot of people around him. I think he will have many other options. And unless he gets guarantees from a transfer portal situation, an academic situation, a grad transfer situation, an NIL situation to make the playing field a little bit more level, I think primetime will dance somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, Brock, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Have a great call, and look forward to catching up again here very soon.
Thanks, brother.
You bet. You all travel safe, you Utes fans. We got to see you down here tomorrow night for a good one. Look forward to it.
You got it. Brock Huard on the call. And, of course, you can also hear him on the radio in Seattle in our Bonneville family station, 710 up there in Seattle. Does a great job there.
It does a fantastic job. Excited for him to be on the call. And I'm sure that Frank Dolce, who's here with us, I'm sure Frank remembers Brock Huard. Do you remember Brock as a college football player?
Give me a little context.
Play at Washington.
Washington.
Yeah, it's not ringing a bell.
Mid-90s.
Huh. Oh. I'll give him this. He sounded like he knew what he was talking
about.
Done
a little homework.
He's done yeah. some... He's done some prep, so that's good.
It's at least there, we got that.
But, I don't. It's just not.
Not registering.
It's not resonating.
Never saw him through the years that maybe he was on.
Apparently, threw five interceptions in an Apple Cup.
Once. What's the?
That was a free admittance.
I would have sat on that one.
Word. What's his name? Word. Who word? Word.
H U A R D. Huard.
Huh. Well,
he was actually. Peyton's backup for 1 year while I was with the Colts.
Yeah. How are you, Frank?
I'm doing fantastic. By the way, you know I'm just messing
around. I know
you're messing. Of course I know Brock. And I listened to his broadcast. I'm very critical of broadcasts when I listen to them on TV. And I listen to his, and I think his is very entertaining.
It's pretty darn good.
I think his is very entertaining. The one thing he does is that he has, it feels like he works hard on coming up with a catch it phrase that he'll drop in the game somewhere. And sometimes they're really, really good. Lots of times they're really good, and sometimes they're like, that's kind of funny.
Has it ever been Wham Bam Canaham?
I haven't heard that one, but he's a terrific analyst. He was a terrific football player, and he gives you a picture of the game that is, it's not a lot of, I mean, there's some fluff. Like
Wham Bam Canaham! Holy smokes!
How good is that one, Frank?
That's when
that was
Brock's voice goes high like that when he says "Wham Bam Canaham." It sounds like someone else that I know. When Brock does it, his voice gets a little squealy, and it sounds like another guy that I know. Because that was Brock, right?
No,
Scotty.
What are you doing?
Oh,
yeah. You knew that was Scotty.
That was a
sorry.
That was a hey. So Hans was like, "You're going to say it?" I'm like, "I'll work it in." Sure,
he worked it in. So you good with me taking shots at Frank now?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
From now
on. Wham, bam, Canaham! Holy smokes!
Why
is such a good call?
It was actually a really big moment in the game, too.
It was a really big moment.
Why are you taking shots at me?
That was off a Sam shot, right, you said?
I think it was. It probably was, yeah.
I think it was like a big, important shot.
I don't know why you want to take shots at me.
Nobody's taking shots.
I wasn't taking shots at you.
My big dog, hey, Nate, when I walked in.
I know we're going to get into this in just... Give me 5 seconds here. How big is this game, Utah-USC? In the grand scheme of all things Utah football, how big is this one?
So it's big because if Utah wins, they go to the Rose Bowl.
If they lose, they're probably
so
in
if
the,
they lose, they're going to the Alamo Bowl.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's is it big like. Would you like the Rose Bowl payout?
Yes.
Or would you like the Alamo
no.
Bowl? No. Would you like the Rose Bowl gift package?
Yes.
Yes. Or?
No.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Sure the Alamo Bowl gifts are tremendous.
The Alamo, I understand outside, you know, just right behind Rose Bowl gift packages, the Alamo Bowl is a very close
yeah, I'm sure.
second. Yeah. Followed also closely by the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. laughable.
I did not see what the gifts were handed.
You didn't?
No, I didn't pay attention to that.
What? Wait a second. Now, that bowl was a blast. They treated you guys like gold, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
That was played in the new SoFi Stadium?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did not. I wasn't seeing what the gift packs were. So, I don't know. I'm sure they were nice.
We're going to reach out to a UCLA.
Well, aren't the dollar amounts are the same, right? Like
I think so. I think in that range, yeah. Yep. No, yes, in that range.
Yeah.
To stay in compliance.
In that range.
I don't think compliance
give or take
exists anymore.
Give or take. So, yes, anyway, Hans, to answer your question, it's a really big game. It's a really big game. I'm curious if people would think
more important than last year?
Differently of... I don't think it's more important than last year. I'm curious if people would think differently of this Utah football team based on a win or a loss in this game. And this is a game that feels like much more than the first game, because I thought USC was ripe for the picking in that first game. This game seems much more like against all odds.
Yeah, you're going to get USC's best shot in this
one. Think, mm-hmm. I would think so as well. And we'll talk about all of this, but Caleb Williams playing at a Huerdian type level.
Hanson Scotty, 97. What?
You know, Brock Huerd.
Yeah.
Brock Huerd.
Brock Huerdian. Hanson Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Center, live here at Advanced Windows. Love for you to come by. Nate Orchard's here. They got a great crew that's ready to help you out with whatever you need and save you a ton of money. Right now, Hans, you can get $3,000 off 10 windows or more. $3,000.
Yeah, $3,000 off your windows. All you got to do is call. That doesn't mean that you got to buy today. That means they'll come out, they'll examine your windows, whatever areas you've got. And by the way, if you don't have 10 windows, they can do one window. Let's say it's one oddly shaped window. They can do that. They can do any window that you could think of in your house. They can replace that window because they got a guy back here who's extreme in being able to bend frames and build windows. And that's what's incredible. They build the window here. So they take the measurements of the window. They build it here. Whatever you need, they've got it. And you can get the $3,000 off 10 windows or more. All you got to do is call and get on the books to evaluation, to have somebody look at your windows. Just call and start the process.
Did you know, because I didn't know this, that they also specialize in pet doors?
Yeah.
And if you have a sliding glass door as your back door,
yeah,
they can install a pet door
in the sliding
in
glass
the slider.
Door. They know how to do
it's
it.
It's like Inception, a door inside a door.
Mm-hmm.
Very much like that.
Yeah.
It's very impressive. Much.
Yes. Are you a dog guy? Do you know the answer?
Am I a dog?
I do know.
Am I a dog owner? Yes.
Okay. Do it begrudgingly.
If you watch how I interact with my dogs, you would say he's a very decent dog owner. If you watch how Hans interacts with his dogs, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you would say that's a dog guy. Like, he may have been a chihuahua in a former life.
I love dogs.
Yes, you do.
They are the greatest gift. If you're depressed, or...
Are you going to say this in front of Nate?
If you're struggling to find friends, a dog will completely change that world for you. If the holidays are a depressing time for you, get a puppy.
Let's just say tears are shed. How can a dog help?
A dog licks the tears away.
Yeah.
Come on, Nate.
Get out of here. What about a kitten? We got some cat lovers around here. I think they do the same, right?
Like Lloyd said, the tongue will take the skin right off, man.
Way too rough.
That's a dangerous game.
You're going to watch yourself.
Hey, we were just talking about this, man. $3,000 off 10 windows or more.
That's right.
That's an incredible offer to the listeners.
Yep.
That's only through 3 o'clock today. And we're not saying you got to buy. We're just saying, just start the process.
That offer is going to continue to the end of the month.
You're going to go to the end of the month with the $3,000?
$3,000 offer.
Oh, there you go.
We're going to push that to the end of the month. And, you know, give us a call, fill out a quote, but just make sure, you know, you let them know that you heard it on the radio.
801-850-9100. $3,000 off 10 windows or more. You can also check them out at advancedwindows.com. But again, just call and get on the books. Have somebody come out, check out the place. 801-850-9100. It's Advanced Windows right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined right now by youth safety, RJ Hubert.
Kyle Whittingham, unprompted, said, yeah, we didn't backdoor it, and pretty much everybody's picking SC. How do you respond, if at all, to all this stuff about SC this, SC that?
Honestly, it is what it is. They'll say what they want to say. It's all just blabber to me. I understand why they're upset. They lost a really close game, and of course they have an opportunity to avenge that here. We're definitely not looking past them by any measure. They're still very talented. They're still a very good team. So yeah, I don't really pay attention too much to any of the talking, and I know there's a lot of it and a lot of people count us out, but it is what it is. We don't mind it.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The Zone is counting you down to the kickoff of the 2022 Pac-12 Championship Game between Utah and USC. Pac-12 Championship Game coverage on The Zone is presented by UCCU. Love where you bang. Right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all well as we continue getting ready for Utah and USC Pac-12 championship game. Let's go, Frank.
Let's go. Thank you, Scotty. I don't know why Lloyd isn't playing the music on the intro.
Oh, he did.
Something wrong?
You were just late putting the headset on.
Oh, is your thing not on?
Oh.
I'm going to turn that up.
Yeah, there we go.
So you can hear it.
There you go.
Thank you, Hans.
Now you can sing and clap along.
Hans, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm really excited about this football game. And, Utah gets in, kind of emerges under the unlikeliest of scenarios. I mean, I didn't think we had much of a concern about UCLA and Cal, although Cal kind of made it a game early.
Yeah,
that could have been a letdown game. Washington State, I loved. I felt like Washington State's been kind of mischaracterized this year as the best defense in the, and so it was kind of
Washington State.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they were the best scoring defense in the Pac-12 going into that game. Before 700 yards later, and Michael Penix was fantastic. Who do you think was
beat him up?
Who do you think is better historically at Washington, Michael Penix or Brock
Huard? It'd be Brock
Huard.
But
do you say where do you Penix, put the accent on
Penix? Time is Penix has to come back another year, doesn't he? Or is he eligible?
Nah, he's eligible. He played 3 years at Indiana, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
so
know.
So, where do you put the accent on the word?
There's no accent.
Huard.
Just Huard.
Is it Huard?
Nope.
Huard.
It's just Huard. Brock Huard.
Is it French?
No. Don't believe so. I think it's German.
It's an interesting name.
So,
for an interesting individual.
Oregon's up 31-10 against Oregon State. You feel like that's a no-brainer. Just going to go that way.
Yeah, I've looked over the stats. I just looked over the stats for that game again. And I'm pretty sure that Oregon won.
If I were to watch that game back again and be like, no, Oregon State doesn't win this game. You'd be halfway through, they're like, wait a minute, no, something's wrong.
So how much do you put on Dan Lanning and his funny... He went for it five times on fourth down. One from his own 29-yard line when momentum had clearly swung to the Beavers after a muffed punt, fourth and two... Don't get it. Beavers go in and score again. And the Beavers were just pounding it. Like, they didn't throw the ball for the last 24 minutes of the game.
No, they overcame a 21-point deficit in the fourth quarter, and I don't think they attempted one pass.
No.
And, like, 13 plays, too. It only took them 13 plays.
Yeah.
Because of the short field.
So that's what I mean. Under the unlikeliest of circumstances, Utah finds a way into this football game against USC. And as we continue to break it down, I think it's a much different matchup than
the first time
around.
How good do you believe Caleb Williams is?
You know, we've talked about Caleb Williams all year long, and I've been a little soft on Caleb Williams. But the last several weeks, he has been lights out, like unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Lights out. His escapability, his knowledge of the game, his presence under stressful situations, and his ability to throw the ball when he's running accurately, it's uncanny.
Mm-hmm. How would you play against him defensively?
I would try and put him on his back every time you could.
Well,
every single time.
I mean, do you get after him?
Yes.
Or do you set a pocket?
No.
Well,
no. I mean, I think if you set a – sorry, Hans, I jumped right in,
no, you're fine.
In front of you. But I think if you set a pocket, the pocket there's no way to contain him. He's demonstrated that you can't contain him.
Well, and you can't – I mean, you can try to spy him, but he'll just juke past you.
There's no – who's the athlete?
Exactly.
That you're going to put on the other side of the – I mean, there's nobody.
Yeah.
There's nobody that you can put on the other side of the ball that is going to be able to stay with him in a one-on-one scenario. So and then if you try and say, well, you know how Utah was trying to build that wall at some point during the season and just keep everything in front of them and keep the quarterback in the backfield, and you do that, he's just going to stand around until somebody gets open. And you just can't hold on to those receivers that long. Someone's going to get open.
Yeah.
So my feeling is your best opportunity is to try to light him up as much as you can.
He's been sacked 23 times this season. In opposite of that, Utah has only allowed 8 sacks this season, which are crazy. Cam Rising, that Utah offensive line has done a great job protecting him, but USC's given up 23 sacks. You can't get to him. Did Utah have 2 or 4?
4. Well, there were 4 pressures. Were those 4 sacks at the end of that game?
I can't remember.
4 significant pressures.
I remember there were 4 big pressures. I can't remember if they resulted in sacks, but they heated things up at the middle of the fourth quarter and changed their defensive scheme, which then stayed on that line through the remainder of the season.
Yeah.
They actually stayed more on tilt the rest of the season than they did playing a conservative style.
I agree. So, it's just really difficult. I read an article the other day. I think this, by the way, I'm a fan of USC, Pac-12 fan of USC and what they're doing.
For the next
My
2 years.
Heavens, the conference is certainly by everybody and their mother is writing something about USC and how great they are here and there. The one article I read just recently was this thing about the unsung hero of the USC is their offensive line. But Caleb Williams has been sacked 23 times. And without Caleb Williams, another quarterback would have been sacked 46 times. Like, his escapability has avoided half of the other sacks.
Sure.
So I don't know if that is the... I don't know if I agree with, like, the unsung hero is the offensive line. The unsung hero is Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
His ability to make...
I would agree with that.
...make plays.
Which is funny saying Caleb Williams is the unsung hero because...
Yeah, he's just, very sung.
Yeah, he's a highly sung hero.
Yeah. Mm.
But he's just that good. And, the one thing that Brock Heward mentioned was his deep ball and the fact that, I mean, he's got the arm strength. He just doesn't have the accuracy. But everything else, the dude is ridiculously special. And would probably be, he has to come back to college for another year.
Yes.
And I asked Brock this, if the rules were changed, he could go into the NFL right now. Brock said, yeah, he'd probably be the number one pick this year.
You could certainly make a case for.
Would you take him over C.J. Stroud?
He's pretty darn dynamic.
Oh. Ohio State quarterback?
Oh.
I would.
So here's how I think you have to. I think you have to handicap those picks based on opponent.
Yes.
So is C.J. Stroud playing against week in and week out a different opponent? And I would lean that way. So he might have more.
Fair. All right.
Big time game experience.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Coming up in our next segment, we'll continue to get you ready for this. Utah and USC, back to back Pac 12 championship game for the Utes. How different are these two teams from when they played earlier in the year? We'll talk about it as well right here on the Zone.
Utah, USC. The Utes battle the Trojans for a chance to play in back-to-back Rose Bowls. Pac-12 championship game coverage on The Zone is presented by UCCU. Love where you bang. Right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a great day. Frank Dolce is.
Great day to be a Ute.
We thought for a moment we would be done and that Utah would not be playing in a Pac-12 title game. But the Utes able to back their way into a Pac-12 championship
game. That is such... Do you think that's fair to say it
that's
that way?
That's 1,000% fair. When you achieve something, needing help to achieve it...
By doing part to achieve it...
You backdoored your way in.
Oh, my gosh. That seems
Hans?
So underhanded.
I think that so unfair. You could coin it as backdooring the way in.
I think you could coin it as that,
but I don't think it's anything to not be proud of.
No, you can own it for sure. Yeah. But when you needed three other games to go your way to get to that championship game, then, yeah, it's a little bit of a backdoor.
But it's still a fantastic accomplishment and a great honor.
100%. Okay. That's absolutely true.
Okay. I still don't think that's fair.
All right, fair enough.
Then we can just say it this way. They did not control their own destiny.
Yes. I wanted you.
Destiny found them.
I wanted you to ask.
Speaking Brock, of Vegas.
I wanted you to ask Brock Huard this question. Do you think it's ironic that the year the league reinstitutes the alignments so that there aren't any north-south divisions because they want to favor the north because the north keeps making the claim that they've had the best two teams in the league for the past several years, that the north should be solely represented in the championship game, that the first year this occurs, that it's an all-south.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
An all-south championship game. I love it.
It's a very beautiful thing.
I love it. Yeah.
It does bum me out a little bit, though, and I get the reasoning behind it. It does bum me out to a certain extent, knowing that Utah either wins this game and goes to the Rose Bowl, or they lose, and they're off to the Alamo.
Well, so to be fair...
Like, I would like to see the second-place team go to the Rose Bowl if USC goes to the College Football Playoff.
Yeah. I mean, I can see the argument for both sides.
Yes, I
of
do
this,
too.
But to be fair, I liked the north-south layout better, and I liked that you had that inter-league competition. So it should be Washington and USC playing in the Pac-12 championship game. I'm not complaining because it's our Utes.
Yeah.
But I like that division break up better.
By the way, Frank pointed at Nate Orchard when he said our.
Mostly Nate's. I was just
our youths.
I was just a placeholder.
Nate, you able to go down tomorrow?
I was just a placeholder.
You know, I'd love to, but the weather just makes me a little nervous.
Yeah.
It just, I want to watch the game from the comfort of my couch with the kiddos and everything.
But yeah, and
Vegas
get the replays.
Seems like it's going to be madness.
As
much as I'd love to, it's just going to be wild. And
are you a Vegas guy?
Be safe. Not really.
Yeah.
I'm a homebody kind of guy. I'm kind of bored.
It was announced as a sellout.
Really?
Yep. The Pac-12 championship game is officially sold out. My guess is
What would you think? 60-40 Utah fans?
Oh, easily.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Easily.
Seems like every time they had an allotment of tickets, they were selling them out. I was down there last year, and it was great representation, but selling out that Las Vegas stadium.
How big is that stadium? Do we know?
68,000?
Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's a big stadium, but it doesn't, it's not an 80,000.
I think it's around 68,000.
Have you guys been in it?
I've been in it.
Been in it a couple times.
I hear it. How does it compare to the Rams? It's pretty comparable. As
it's about, about 65,000.
Okay.
No, actually, it feels like, I've been to SoFi too. Mm-hmm. It actually feels like you could take Allegiant and put it inside SoFi.
Really?
SoFi is just monstrous.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I played there last year when I was with Minnesota, and walking out of that tunnel.
You've been in Jerry World. You played in there a couple times.
Oh, yeah, played there as well.
It feels like you could put Allegiant in Jerry World.
Exactly.
It just, it's not that big, but it's impressive. It's,
yeah.
I think it's about the right amount of what they're looking for.
Yeah, and for Vegas, I mean, you got the clubs in there, all the good food and everything is what people want.
Yeah. Who would have thought a Pac-12 championship game itself? Is this the first?
The drunk tank for the Raiders fans.
Yeah. Is this the first Pac-12 championship sellout? It might be.
Did last year's not sell out?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Okay, then yeah. Because this is the...
Because they never sold out Levi Stadium, did they?
No, no. Not even close.
Yeah, that stadium's... No.
There were a couple times that I think that
it's
thing...
It's pretty sparse, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, Lloyd and I are going to have to get on the road.
Got to love our Ute fans, man. They travel well.
They do.
No matter where you're at, we'll be there.
And it's probably going to be a crazy night to travel.
How different do you think USC is now as opposed to when Utah played them earlier?
You know, it's just amazing when you have a quarterback like Caleb Williams who can just control the game like no other, right?
As a pass rusher, how hard is he? Because you know, you want to get after him, but then you realize that if he spins out and you don't have any contain, that it's 20 yards down the field.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Marcus Mariota when I was at Utah, right, with a little more juice. I mean, this guy is elusive. And when he gets out of the pocket, watch out. I mean, I'd love to see the stats on just – you know, him rolling out to his right versus his left, and the passing completion rating versus doing that. Because when he gets out of the pocket, man, those balls that go deep, whoo, he can launch it.
He's really special with that. I keep wondering what Morgan Scully's going to do because you watched that fourth quarter, and he changed things.
Uh-huh.
And the first time they played USC, got more aggressive. And like Frank has talked about multiple times, that changed the tides in that game.
Exactly. And just, I mean, you look at where our defense is now, especially our defensive line from when we first played them to this game against Colorado, there's been a huge growing phase for them, right? They've grown a lot, and they're forced to with some of the injuries that we've had. But, you know, I'm looking for Coach Scally to just mix it up, a lot of fire zone blitzes and things like that, bringing guys from different sides of the field, maybe dropping some ends and just kind of mixing it up and keeping them on their toes, knowing where the pressure's coming from.
Has Coach Whittingham asked you for free windows yet?
you know that conversation's coming.
He's got a couple rental properties. I might have to run that by him, see if I can take care of him.
Because I already know Coach Mack asked. I'm just wondering if Coach Whit asked.
We might have to get him on the show. We'll see, huh?
Yeah, I love that you got the window hookup. Talk about what we can do for the listeners today, Nate, and why they might need to replace their windows.
Yeah, you know, some of the biggest thing as you're walking by your window in your home, it could just be that time as you're looking at it, you could see some rot, some deterioration, or you can just feel that draft coming from your window. Those are all signs of, you know, time for you to replace those windows. And with it being cold outside, you'll really feel the difference in your home and where that breeze is coming from, that draft. And so, you know, When you're outside looking in, it's, you know, windows make a big difference from the curb appeal. And so if you're looking to replace your windows, now's the time to do it. We have our $3,000 discount going through the end of December.
Let's just revisit that. $3,000 off, folks. That's a normally you're offering two, but you're bumping it up to three.
$3,000 and free estimate. So give us a call. And we'll have our salesman come out, meet you at your home, walk you through our products and what we're offering, and make sure you're taken care of and you get the right product in your home.
It's really simple. All you have to do is call right now and get on the books to get that $3,000 off. 801-850-9100. You walk by a window and it's 15 degrees outside and the wind's blowing. You're like, where is that
That draft is coming through that window, man. You got to get it taken care of. 801-850-9100. That's 801-850-9100. Also, great financing options available as well. 60 months, 0%. It's a limited time only, so take advantage of it. 60 months, Frank. We just did the math on that. That's five years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hans and I.
Were you testing me on
no,
that?
No. Well, no. I was just.
I think we had three and a half. Maybe
I was
at
showing
one
you
point,
how proud and, me and Hans were that we were able to figure out that
you
that was
got,
five
you
years.
Got 60.
It,
wow.
It took us a minute, but five we got years, there. 16.
We knew it was three or more.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, in the break, I'm going to pull out a spreadsheet. We'll walk through it. I'll help you guys out.
Amortize it.
we can do that, too.
I appreciate that.
It's all available for you at advancedwindows.com. And again, the number to call to take advantage of that financing, the $3,000 off, 801-850-9100 right here on The Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.